This is Kaiser Health, bringing the health industry to families, corporations, and you. Talk with Lenore Kaiser at 599-5555 or 800-299-KTSA.
Hi, this is Lenore Kaiser with Kaiser Health Talk, and we are here today. Today's show is brought to you by Health Crave Medical Center, which could be found at www.sahealthcrave.com. You can also get a hold of them at 210-GET-WELL. Today we're going to be talking with Dr. John Friedland with Orthopedic Spine Institute. They could be found at saspine.com, and you could also find them at 210-48-SPINE, or if you just want to call them direct, 210-487-7463. Later on, we'll be talking to IBTX Risk Service, Gayla Burns, and also Pedro Mercado. But right now, we're going to be talking with John, Dr. John Friedland. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Well, great. I was wanting to ask, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with OSI.
So I'm an orthopedic spine surgeon. I was born and raised here in San Antonio. Spent about 25 years in the Army, including my medical school training, my residency training in orthopedics at BAMC, and subsequently a fellowship in spine surgery, which I did in Colorado. Then several assignments in the military, different places in the world. Finally decided to come back here to San Antonio to set up my final practice.
And a lot of traveling.
A lot, yeah.
And a lot of years in practice.
I've been in practice many years.
A long time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get right to the questions because I actually am familiar with back problems. I have some myself, lower back problems. But as far as for somebody that is healthy and doesn't have those issues, how does one prevent back problems from occurring?
Well, probably one of the first things to do is to plan ahead when you're going to do something, to think about the activities that you're going to do and make sure that you understand what activities are involved, in, especially if it's a lifting type of activity or sports activity or something like that. So plan ahead. If you are going to, it does involve lifting, you want to do things like tighten the muscles in your stomach, tighten the muscles in the upper part of your legs. You want to bend with your knees. You don't want to twist very much, especially if you think of your shoulders and your hips and pelvis as being in one plane. You don't want to get your shoulders and hips and pelvis out of the same plane.
Think about your core, in other words.
Correct, exactly. And that, if you twist, it puts a lot of stress on the disc space itself, and that's where they tend to rupture, is when you put pressure right on the disc by doing some twisting activity when you've loaded it, you're carrying a heavy load.
Okay, so basically when you're overstressing the body, and then twisting actions cause...
Right. If you just think about the basic things, your center of gravity, when you lift objects, you want to keep it as close to your center of gravity as possible. The further away from your body that it is, the bigger the lever arm that you have, and the more stress it puts on your back.
And when somebody gets hurt, what's like the first thing they should do?
Well, it depends. When you're first hurt, your first response is to not do the thing that causes pain, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But in reality, with back pain, one of the worst things you can do is bed rest. One or two days at the most. But there's been numerous studies that have been done that show that bed rest actually, over the course of more than 2 or 3 days, actually increases back pain. And the problem is your muscles start to decondition very rapidly, and you're unable to perform your normal activities of daily living after a couple of days of bed rest, because the muscles tend to lose their ability to even support your own body.
They kind of tighten up even more, I think.
They go into spasm, but the muscles tend to not work. And it's not a synchronous type of activity as well, too, when you've been at bed rest. So,
would you advise somebody to go to the ER?
For certain things. So when you're first hurt, you want to stay active. Hurt doesn't necessarily equal harm, and that's both in a disc herniation or just plain low back pain. We'll get into more what a disc herniation is as well, too. You do want to just do light activity. Avoid any heavy lifting, bending, or twisting, as I said. There's no real data on any particular exercise that's going to help you with that. But the things that you can think about when to go to the ER, if you have loss of bowel or bladder control, numbness where a saddle would hit you, or you're riding a horse, those would be reasons to either call an ambulance or go to the ER right away. Other reasons that you would think about seeing a healthcare professional sooner is if you have a history of cancer. If you have a history of osteoporosis.
And why is that?
One of the main places that cancer travels to in your body is the bones of the spine. And we see it quite frequently, actually, when you do have cancer, that we pick it up and see it in the spine. And it can make the spine structurally unsound so that you put a little bit of pressure on it and it can cause an area of back pain. It is rare. I will tell you, it doesn't happen a lot, but it is one of those things that you don't want to miss.
And when would you advise an MRI?
So x-rays and an MRI. Imaging studies, when you see your physician, in general, I would say that x-rays are usually initially unnecessary and often not helpful because they're going to show, as you get older, degenerative changes that we expect to see. And you don't want to treat just the x-ray. You want to treat the patient as well, too. So in general, if you're over 50 years old, if you haven't had improvement for about 6 weeks or there's other worrisome findings, fever, unexplained weight loss, a history of cancer, those would be reasons I would get x-rays right away. In MRI, if you have a progressive neurologic deficit, and irritation of a nerve root, weakness in your leg, those would be reasons to get an MRI sooner rather than obviously later.
What is the difference between an x-ray and MRI? When somebody goes to a, if you're just a common person, not in the health industry, and somebody says you need an MRI over an x-ray, what's the difference between the two?
Excellent question. So x-rays can typically be done in most physicians' offices or very close to those offices. It involves ionizing radiation. So you send out a beam of radiation through somebody's body. The thicker tissue stops the beam of radiation. The thinner tissue lets it go through. And on the film behind it, you can see then a picture of the more dense objects. So x-rays are great for bones because bones stop radiation. It's absorbed in your body. And then you can see a negative or a picture of it on the screen. An MRI is just a big magnet. It magnetizes the water cells in your body, flips them back and forth rather rapidly, and that gives off an electrical impulse. A big computer puts all those impulses together, and it helps you see the soft tissues of your body, the nerves, the muscles, the tendons, everything around the bones. It doesn't show the bones really well because they actually don't have that large of a content of water compared to the rest of your body.
That's interesting. But you consider yourself, I know you're a surgeon, but when when somebody says spinal surgeon, what does that mean?
So as a spine surgeon, I'm kind of the, I guess you would say, court of last resort. People generally start in the health profession with their general practitioner, chiropractor, some go to massage therapist, herbalist, lots of different ways to treat back pain. If you don't get relief through the course of your treatment, you gradually get referred on and on in the system. And as a spine surgeon, I see a lot of people who have been sometimes 1 and 2 years with varying degrees of back pain. So I look for people that have a surgical problem. In general, those are actually pretty rare. Surgical problems for back are pretty rare. So in my training, of course, I've learned all the non-operative methods for treating spine problems, and those are usually the ones that we try and use as much as possible. Surgery should be a last resort.
Exactly. I know that many years ago I had a pain radiating down my leg, and I was told it was because of a pinched nerve. How would you explain a pinched nerve to, you know, somebody that's not familiar with that?
So a pinched nerve is exactly what it says. It's where the nerve is getting squeezed, and typically that's from a disc herniation, and that can occur in your cervical spine or your neck or your low back, which is your lumbar spine. It can occur in other places too, but most commonly, the disc, the twisting motion I was talking about, if you twist and that disc tears, the outer portion of the disc is very thick. It's like the gristle in a steak. The inner portion of the disc is the kind of gooey, soft stuff that acts like a spring. Well, it's under pressure, and so when you tear the outside of the disc, that gooey inner portion kind of squirts out, and your body doesn't like it, and it causes an intense inflammatory reaction. It pushes on the nerve, and the nerve causes pain that feels like it radiates down a leg or down your arm, and that's the way your brain interprets it anyway.
And for immediate, if somebody felt this and they needed immediate relief, what would you recommend for them to do?
Immediate relief from a disc herniation can often be very, very difficult to find immediate relief. Those are one of the things, radiating pain down an arm or a leg, or weakness in an arm or a leg, is probably one of the reasons that people get to see me probably more rapidly than not. Most healthcare providers in the community are going to refer that on to a spine surgeon fairly rapidly. There's both neurosurgeons and orthopedic surgeons. I'm in the orthopedic surgeon group, and neurosurgeons treat these kinds of problems as well, too. But they'll get referred rather rapidly. Sometimes a short course of oral steroids, they have their risks as well, too. That can decrease pain. Epidural steroid injections can also decrease radiating pain. That's where you put a needle in next to where that disc herniation is. You kind of put some medication around the nerve where the disc is being, where the nerve is being pinched by the disc, and that can often relieve some of the symptoms.
And if, like, the hips hurt, is it because of it being the hips, or could it be a different part of the body that's causing that to be the problem?
It can often be a different part of the body. So a lot of times people think that their hip pain is a pinched nerve, and there's so many different things that can cause hip pain. If it's in your groin area, that can be problems from your gastrointestinal tract, your digestive system, the muscles in the front part of your abdomen as well, too. It can be problems with your hip joint itself, the actual socket itself. If it's more on the outside of your hip joint, there's a thick band of tissue called the iliotibial band that runs along the outside. Tends to cause problems when you sit and stand up because it tends to slide back and forth across the outside of your hip. Pain in your buttock in the back part of your hip tends to be more often related to referred pain from arthritis in your back, but pain that radiates from your hip down into your leg and then typically down below your knee is often related to a pinched nerve.
Very interesting. And if anybody wants to call in and talk to Dr. Friedland or ask him a question, they could always call 210-599-5555. And if you're long distance, call 800-299-KTSA. We're going to be taking a break, but when we do get back, we're going to be talking about when surgery is the answer. You're listening to Kaiser Health Talk, and this is Lenore Kaiser. This show is brought to you by Health Crave Medical Center. You can find them at sahealthcrave.com or 210-GET-WELL.
Bringing the health industry to families, corporations, and you. This is Kaiser Health.
Hi, this is Lenore Kaiser with Kaiser Health Talk. And if you want to call in, you could call 210-599-5555. And today's show is brought to you by Health Crave Medical Center. You could find them at sahealthcrave.com. You could also reach them at 210-GET-WELL. Right now we're talking to Dr. John Friedland, and he could be found at the Orthopedic Spine Institute, which is online at saspine.com. But if you want to call them, it's 210-487-7463. We were talking in regards to back pain surgery and so forth, and we do have a caller, and so I want to make sure that we get to them first. So the first caller is Paul.
Yes.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, ma'am. All this topic is very interesting. I wanted to just go ahead and tell you a little bit about myself. Not too long ago, I was diagnosed at the fourth and the fifth lumbar bone on bone. In November, unfortunately, I was involved in a car accident, and I fractured my ninth vertebrae. It was fractured. Now, I have recuperated somewhat, but I'm asking about decompression therapy. Decompression. What do you think of that, doctor?
So decompression therapy is typically placing traction on the spine, and there's a bunch of different ways to do that. There are machines that will do it on a computerized method. You can use specialized lumbar corsets that actually offload your spine. I think most of us have seen the commercials for the teeter hang-ups that you hang upside down and
right,
put your spine
right
under traction as well, too. So in general, I like supervised traction. So I send my patients to supervise physical therapy and have them do traction under the supervision of a physical therapist or a chiropractor to see how well they do with it. Some patients do very well with it, some don't. And it depends on what the cause for the pain is. And it sounds like you have two different things going on in your back.
Right, but you know what, doctor? I've been very fortunate. I have not had no real pain yet. And mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to be proactive and to try to get into.
Well, and that's great. I think that the fracture that you had is probably to the point, hopefully, of being healed. Most bones do heal.
Yes.
6 to 12 weeks or so. Hopefully, the position that it healed in is acceptable for supporting your back on into old age. The bone-on-bone between the L4 bone and the L5 bone just tells me that the disc is completely worn out of that space. In general, traction may help you with that somewhat. I'm pretty sure that the disc is what we call desiccated or dried out. It happens normally as you age. Sometimes
right.
Traction can help that disc recover a little bit, provide a little bit more cushion there, and make your life less painful. The fact that you've not had a lot of pain is fantastic, and traction may help
yes.
continue to keep you from having pain. But you have to couple that with a good core stability exercise program as well, too,
yes.
and practice good lifting techniques and all the other things to take care of your back.
I see then. All right, doctor. Well, thank you so much for the info. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Paul. And our next caller is Joseph. Well, we missed Joseph. Maybe he'll call back. And but I'm going to get to my questions because there's one particular one that I want to ask you. If somebody says that their parents had back pain and so forth or had to deal with stuff like that, are they more likely to have back pain as well?
Great question. There is a genetic component to back pain. We haven't figured out what that is with all the mapping of the human genome. We haven't figured it out yet. So it's a problem of what I call nature versus nurture. Nature is part of what you get from your genetic material from your parents. Nurture is what you do throughout the course of your life. Now, if you break back problems down, a lumbar strain or a sprain, which is a muscle injury or an injury to the ligaments that support your back, that's about 70% of the people that I see or that are seen in general in practice in the U.S. Degenerative changes or arthritic changes, about 10%. True disc herniation, only about 4%. Compression fractures, as we talked to Paul about, are probably about 4% as well, too. And then the rest of the percentages are made up by other pathologies or other problems that are more obscure, I would say. So,
very interesting.
Yeah, okay. So it doesn't guarantee that you're going to have back problems. But if your parents did have back problems,
you have a higher percentage.
I would pay very close attention to that and do all the things that you need to do. Stay fit. Enjoy a leisure activity that's been shown to actually decrease the amount of back pain. If you're in a job that has heavy physical labor, practice good lifting techniques for sure. And probably most important of all, avoid smoking.
Absolutely. I'm going to talk about that, but let's go ahead and get Joseph on the line 1 second. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, how are you today, Laura?
I'm doing awesome. Do you have a question for Dr. Freeland?
I do. I just, we talk about kind of the after the fact, how do we care for either an injury that you've had in the past. You touched a little bit on maybe being the proactive, but as men, as we get older, we carry a little bit more weight around the gut. And I remember hearing something about, and you mentioned something about the fulcrum effect. For every 5 pounds that you have in the front, it offsets and puts that much more weight on your back. And not only on your physical, how your diet and maybe your physical part, but what about like beds? You see a lot of these sleep number beds and a lot of, different ways of dealing with that. Is that, do you think that is money well spent or, how do you feel about that?
Well, great question. I get that question asked a lot in my practice. I think beds are an important part of protecting your back because we do spend about a third of our life sleeping. So you want a bed that, in my opinion, and this is not probably accepted everywhere, but my opinion is a firm mattress that supports your back and keeps you in a relatively neutral position. I encourage my patients to sleep on their side, sort of in a fetal position as the most appropriate position. I like them to avoid sleeping on their back and definitely avoid sleeping on your stomach. Those two positions, both supine or prone, tend to put the most stress on your back. So if you can sleep on your side, that's the best way that I think you can support your back. Getting in and out of bed becomes a problem as well, too, because people tend to twist into bed and twist out of bed. And as I said earlier, twisting puts a huge stress on your low back. So learning to sort of pendulum yourself using your legs as a weight in and out of bed becomes very important, especially if you already have a back problem as well, too. And that's where a good physical therapist can help you learn how to do those bed to chair transfers or bed to floor transfers to get up and move in and out when you have had a problem.
Right, so the firmness is basically, is that more to comfort, or is it like, kind of like a toothbrush, some say hard, some say soft, but you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And
the firmer mattress better, or those memory foam kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm not going to, I don't think I can endorse one mattress over another
right.
Other than to say a good firm mattress that supports your spine in a neutral position so that your head is aligned with your torso, which is aligned with your low back, and one area isn't sagging into or pushed up more higher than another place.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, Lenore. Love
Thank
the show.
You. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All righty. Well, I do want to get back to that statement that you made about smoking. Why is smoking an issue when it comes to back pain?
One of the chief effects of smoking on the spine is that smoking contributes to atherosclerotic disease, which is building up of plaques in your arteries. This decreases the blood supply and most importantly, to areas that are fed by very small blood vessels. The blood vessels that supply your heart are relatively small, and that's what triggers a heart attack is when those vessels become occluded, they're closed off. But the smaller vessels that supply your spine see that effect much sooner than those slightly larger vessels in your heart. And so,
I bet you a lot of people don't realize that.
They don't. Mm-hmm. And so smoking is cumulative. And I would say that a good portion of the patients that I see in my practice, especially the ones that have a hard time recovering from a spine injury, are my smokers. And I encourage them to quit. I know smoking is incredibly hard to quit. If it was easy, you know, with all the health news out there, we would have a whole lot fewer people smoking in the society, but it does contribute to both neck and low back problems by decreasing the amount of nutrients that are supplied to the disc area, the area around the disc, because there's no blood supply that goes actually into the disc. It's just the tissues around it that nutrients diffuse in and out of the disc. It has a very low metabolic activity, but it doesn't matter because there it builds up toxic waste there, and the discs become very degenerative very quickly.
Well, that makes sense. And as far as weight, how would you, when it comes to, we're in San Antonio, and so we know there's a lot of overweight people. So how does weight?
I'm a little in the pot calling the kettle black on that one. So, but your spine is designed to carry the loads of your body's weight and distribute those loads both in rest and activity. And so when you get loads that are unbalanced or out of proportion, or as our other caller was talking about, when that fulcrum effect, when your gut gets big and it pulls on your spine, it causes an abnormal load to your spine that eventually you're going to overcome the supporting structures in your spine, the thick ligaments that hold everything together, the muscles that help support your back. So although there's no direct studies that show that being overweight causes, except in the very, very high upper quintiles of being overweight, the general overweight population, it doesn't actually contribute necessarily directly to back problems other than the fact that it puts additional stress on your back, and then coupled with all the other things that you do, a high-demand job that requires heavy lifting, smoking, poor nutrition, those together end up causing back problems. So being overweight is one of the things that hopefully you can actively take a part in to decrease your weight, decrease the effect that it has on your spine.
Yeah, and the impact that it has on your disc. So the ultimate question is, so when is surgery the answer?
Surgery should always be the last resort. There's, well, I say that with a couple of caveats because there are some conditions that require surgery right away. But typically those are traumatic, unstable spines, large disc herniations that cause pressure on the nerves or a collection of nerves or the spinal cord, a disease called spinal stenosis when it's in your neck. But really you should exhaust all of the non-operative therapies that you can. If it's chronic low back pain, then you really want to try and use massage therapy, physical therapy, acupuncture, chiropractic. There's osteopathic manipulation, homeopathic remedies. I'm not endorsing those. People have tried all of those. A back brace, traction injections, a TENS unit, hot cold therapy, ultrasound, anything that you can do, weight loss, stop smoking, anything that you can do to try and decrease, the other things that are affecting your back in order to get yourself healthy again, because surgery makes your back different. And as I like to tell my patients, hopefully different is better. But I can't ever guarantee a good result with surgery.
Well, that makes perfect sense. But if anybody wants to get a hold of Dr. John Friedland, you can reach him at the Orthopedic Spine Institute, and you can find that online at saspine.com. And they're located right off of Huebner on 21 Spurs Lane and Suite 245 in the Texas Center for Athletics. You want to call them, they're 210-487-7463. I appreciate you visiting with us, and we're going to be taking a break, and when we get back, we're going to be talking about healthcare reform. We all know it's coming around the corner, and so it'll be some interesting questions that if you want to call in, and I have a lot of questions since I deal with that all the time. This show is brought to you by Health Crave Medical Center. You can find them at sahealthcrave.com, and you can also reach them at 210-GET-WELL. This is Lenore Kaiser with Kaiser Health Talk.